Amen. How many of you were blessed this morning when you heard from Brother Dan and his messages and his stories and just his life? And Logan and Lee and all of us were talking at lunch about what an amazing collision of times in history that you have a car on a three-masted ship that sinks and they get rescued by a steamer. I mean, think about that. I mean, the world was changing so fast, and God brought all those pieces together to provide a rescue. It was great to hear from you this morning. We look forward to hearing from you tonight. Coming up, brother.
Thank you, Pastor. It's good to be with you again this evening. And let me tell you, I don't see very many churches like this in the United States anymore. I travel a lot, and I see a lot of dying churches, and I don't hear very many churches that get together and sing. So I'm thankful for this church and your singing. It's just great to be with you and be able to share what God is doing in the Democratic Republic of Congo. And you know, as I went through your missionary cupboard, I have not seen a missionary cupboard like that. No. I want to take a picture, you know, and send it to my wife and look at this. Don't you wish you were here? No. But man, they wanted to just pile everything on me. No, there's some other missionaries in the world that might want some things too. But thank you for your, for you know, it's a teamwork. That's what I mentioned. It's a teamwork. It's just everybody doing what God has called you to do in the body of Christ. And just God has his people everywhere that are carrying on his work. And you being faithful here is just as important as me being faithful over there on the other side. If we didn't have churches like you, you know, these benches don't keep this electricity paid for and this heat bill and everything else. It's the people. You know, you remember that little, well, I do this. I do a lot of things to share, but Ephesians chapter 2 says we were dead in our trespasses and sin. But then it goes to verse 4, but God, not a church. Not you, not your family, but God. It's all about God. It's all about grace. And we were dead. And one by one, as God's Holy Spirit works in us and we respond to the truth of God's word, especially the gospel, God makes us alive in Christ. And when we become alive in Christ, we become part of the body of Christ that I understand in 1 Corinthians 12. But when we become that body in one locality, we fit in a local church that has one God, one Savior, one Holy Spirit, one Bible authority. And so you remember that in school, right? Did your Sunday school teacher show you this? Who? Got to put it, okay. So look at the church and look at the steeple, open the doors, and you remember that, right? Yeah. So the big thing isn't about this, it's about this. The people that are alive, that God have God's Holy Spirit indwelling us, and it's a gift. It's a free gift that God gives. Wow, that's neat. Well, I have so much I'd like to share with you tonight. I'd like you to keep praying for my wife. Her psoriasis can cause another medical problem. Which is a chronic I'm not good with these medical terms, but it goes into your joints. And she just texted me just before the service, and usually she doesn't share with me, but she says my joints are really hurting. And so her dermatologist has referred her to a rheumatologist, and the dermatologist is saying it's probably 95% that you could have some serious joint problems. I'm not a doctor. I don't know that. So remember to pray for her, and we're waiting for this other doctor to get back. Is there some kind of medication we need to get her on? So I'd appreciate your prayers for my wife, Christine. And going back to Congo, that we'll have the treatment that's necessary, and then our daughter going back there, not having a school that she can really fit in, So we just pray for that. Our son, Timothy, I'd appreciate your prayers for him, that God would lead him. We're really encouraging him to go to a Bible college first, go to Bible school at least 1 year. We'll put that for all of our kids. Of all of our four first daughters graduated from Northland Baptist Bible College in Wisconsin. And so they finished, but we're trying to encourage Tim to go to Bible college. You might remember to pray for him. There is a few prayer cards on the back with all four of us on there. They're old, but I did find a couple and put them. They weren't there this morning, so if you want to pick them up, remember to pray. When you look at your rings, you remember to pray for. There you go. Boy, you guys, I can't believe all you know about Congo. You know some things that I don't know, Pastor brought up, you know. thank you for your faithfulness to the church here, to God's work here, reaching souls here, being faithful here, and I want to be faithful on that side where God has put me. So I'd like to just finish the PowerPoint that we were into this morning, and could you go to a friend at work and say, could you tell me what this means? Just as a way to get a conversation going. I heard this crazy missionary came from Africa and he said, if you're born once, you're going to die twice. And if you're born twice, you're going to die once. Could you just try it this week? Just ask somebody and see if they can explain it to you. He said it came from the Bible. Or I don't know those exact, but anyways, I'm just trying to help you maybe be able to share that with somebody else. You know what? Whatever we get from God's word, we need to share with others. We need to share it with others. So maybe you might try. But I believe that's where we ended. Born once, die twice. And of course, we understand that if you're only born of the physical, you will die physically. And you are dead spiritually. But when you trust Jesus as your Savior and are born from above by the Spirit of God through faith in Christ, and you're born twice, you'll only die the physical, not the second death. That's in Revelation 20, I believe it is. And So here I came to this village for a reason of sending my message, communicating to my wife. But God had a different plan. And you know, there's a real truth in that, isn't there? We all have, remember my grandfather? This is going to go with all this equipment. God said, I don't need that equipment. I just need you. And just think, he would have never made it into that village of Mbongo if he would have had the car and trailer. He would have settled down, and that tribe would have never known about Jesus, Mbombiyana's son, who died on the cross for them. So God knows. But, you know, we just all need to be available to him. So it was neat. You can see this older man there. I asked him, and I had him translate it. I said, translate it to the people. And he said it twice. I says, translate it again. Now I want somebody in the village. And there was probably about 80 people around listening as I shared God's word. And nobody could tell me what it meant. And I was able to share with them. Especially, I went to John chapter 3. So do pray for this village and that Pastor John will be able to get back there and meet with these believers and disciple them and those that truly trusted Christ, that they'll be baptized and there'll be a start of a new little church in this village. So on that motorcycle trip, we traveled on. I left a few tracks. I always had tracks right by my headlight. I have a little place that I put tracks down. I took all the tracks I had, left it there. Come to find out that there wasn't even cell phone communication after 45 minutes and fixing a flat tire for maybe 15, 20 minutes on the road. But we reached this village. This was just that night. I had the ladies of the church brought. So this is the cassava. It's the same that tapioca is made out of. And it's a big tuber. It grows under the ground. Usually takes, about 2 years. And then you have to soak it to get the poisons out of it for 4 days. So it grows for 2 years. Take it out. You take it to a stale pond or old dugout canoe or someplace and soak it and get the poisons out of it. And then it's processed in two different ways throughout Congo. This is the hot mush. So you boil water, put maybe a little bit of corn flour or millet in it, boil it. No, No salt, no nothing. And then you just push this starchy flour in and mix it with a big spoon. And that is what we call fufu. F-U-F-U. Fufu. That's what we eat out there. Hot. So they had bowls of this fufu that they kept bringing in. And of course, you can see over in this pot is the leaves from the cassava, which is very important to eat them together. The cassava has no absolute nutrition at all. Nothing. That's why up in the bush, my wife had to teach the ladies to cook healthy for their kids because they were just eating the cassava. They weren't getting meat, and these kids were getting just from lack of eating nutritious. But the last time I ate in this same Munstakot, I just have to tell you this story quick. I made a trip down there. That's the first pocket projector that I put together in a backpack. And I wanted to take it down to this pastor. And my destination was this village. And so I called that pastor after I got this put together. And I says, I have a week. Next week I'm free. Can I come down there? I'm going to come on my motorcycle. I'm trying to get somebody else to ride with me, but I can't find anybody to ride with me. Can I come and meet you in a village that needs to hear the gospel? He sent me back this ham radio message, and he says, come and meet me in Iyembe. I says, okay, what day? I says, I could make it there Wednesday. He says, I'll walk. So he walked a whole day's trip to this village to wait for me. So I try to get somebody, any other missionary, Congolese pastor that knows how to ride a motorcycle good or has one, nobody. So I get on my 250, and I load it down with all the gas I'm going to need for 400 kilometers going and 400 kilometers coming back, over 400. So I load down all this fuel, Bibles, tracks, these little MP3 recorders, and my tent and my little mattress and sheet and little blanket and all that kind of good stuff and my backpack. And I loaded onto my motorcycle, and I got a weight of at least a person and a half on the back of my 250. So I head out at 6 o'clock in the morning out of Kinshasa, and things are going just wonderful. And all of a sudden, this BMW, and I don't have a speedometer on my, it's a motocross bike, and I count the kilometers to know, going right about 60 kilometers, just a nice six gear going down. I'm still on pavement. And all of a sudden, I see this BMW passing me up. And he's not going too much faster than me. I'm like, wow, where did that BMW come from? And, you know, who is this? And so I try to catch up to him a little bit. And as I step on a little bit more, all of a sudden I feel my back tire starting this kind of little wobbly. Uh-oh, I'm getting a flat. Pull off quick. Pull off. And I got my back tire blew out. And so, oh boy, this is fun. With this load, I push this thing under a little tree. Anyways, long story short, I said, Lord, why? I have a full day. I have to be on this thing hot once I hit the dirt. I can't let off. I'm going to be in there as it is at 9 p.m. And Lord, why? I couldn't understand. And so I pushed my motorcycle over there. I said, I'm not. I had 24 bungee strapping my saddlebags and all this gasoline and drinking water and all the stuff that I had. And I said, I'm not going to do that. So I pull my machete out, go over to a tree, get a crotch, put up my kickstand, put it on another piece of pole so it won't go into the ground, and put this crotch under my rear fork, open it up and take it off. And I'm sitting there, and now I need somebody, the little rubber piece that goes around the spokes is deteriorated and fall off. But I have a spare tube. I always carry a front and rear spare tube. So I have another tube, but it has a couple big patches on it. So I put this tube in, but I need to get somebody to hold the tire so I don't have to peel off the whole tire. I'm just going to throw in another inner tube and get back on the road. And right then, this young guy comes out of nowhere. I'd seen no living person for quite a while. And this guy comes out, young guy, out of nowhere. Hello? Hi. I need your help over here. Lord, is he the one? I told you about the guy here in Washington that wears this little tag. and it says, "Are you the one?" And every morning he gets up and he goes around and he says, "Are you the one? Are you the one? Are you the one that's searching for God, that God wants me to talk to you about salvation?" And so I was just like, "Are you the one?" Sure. He comes over there and helps me. And so I ask him. So these days, I'm using more ways of asking people than I know where they are. Instead of starting with Romans 3:10 and right through, I ask questions. So I got to tell you this story too about Walmart too, because you guys, that was here in Washington, but I'm getting too many stories, but maybe it'll just help encourage you. So anyways, this guy, I ask him, "How does God forgive sin?" He said, "I don't know." I said, "You know God's way in the Bible that God says he forgives sins?" He says, "Maybe it's about a church and the pastor does it for you." I says, "It's not. Can you tell me a verse?" So finally, I was able to share the gospel. And I had him stand up on my foot pegs. And even then, he could barely, just before under my back. And I gave him a ride into the next village. I'm glad my tire took up for that. But anyways, so this trip, I won't tell you the whole trip. I stopped on the way again. I come along, and I'm just booking, really now making good time. And here's another motorcycle, a lady and a man, broken down. They have no pump, no patching, so I help them. Another hour, digging clear into my saddlebags, getting my patching stuff out, taking their tire off, fixing it. And so I head out, and I'm just doing great, just booking through, splitting the sand. You're now into deep, deep. So these big trucks go through, and you have big, deep ruts with high center. And the bushes are hitting your saddlebags from each page. If you move over just a little bit, your saddlebag hits the high center over here. If you move over here, the sticks start ripping it. And you keep your toes bent in like this so it doesn't tear your feet back. And so I'm going along, and this is my wife decides I'm going to wear Goliath's jacket. This guy gives me this motorcycle jacket. I've always worn a jean jacket. And he gives me this motorcycle jacket with all these strips down here, plastic stuff on your shoulders and down your spine and everything. And I says, "I'm David. I'm not Goliath." My wife says, "You're 50 years old and driving a motorcycle by yourself. And I don't even have cell phone communication. If you crash out there and break your neck, you know, you better wear this thing." But the thing is so hot because, you know, it's not letting the air through. Anyways, long story short. I make it down to that village. At 6 p.m., I'm coming along. It's just dusk. I haven't seen any living person for 2 hours. And I'm come to a crossroads, and which way is it? And I bank this way, and there's this rut, and it takes my front tire. And my front tire goes right down this rut. And usually I just gun it, and I'll pull right out of it. But I was so tired, I just says, "We're going down." And I just thump, 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 thump. And anyways, then I thought, that was not very smart. How are you going to lift this thing up? So I take off this jacket, get a drink of water, eat a granola bar, and I go up to that motorcycle, and I do everything I can. I grab this handlebar, and I grab down, and I lift, and the thing will not come off the ground. And so I prayed, and I said, "Lord, you know I need to get going. This pastor's waiting for me. That village got this ham radio message that I'm coming, and I'm going to be showing the first moving picture, the Jesus film, in their village." So anyways, I could lift it up. So I untied everything, all my gas, all the stuff, untied it, and the night birds are going, "Ooh, ooh, ooh, ooh." The monkeys out in the forest are making the noise of the nighttime monkeys where everything's getting settled up for nighttime, and the little crickets, you know, they're going off all over. It's nighttime. And now I got to drive, and my headlight is shining orange instead of white because I got a short somehow in my regular. Anyways, big. So I get on the motorcycle again, and I'm going along, and all of a sudden, I'm eating the ridge again. Oh, and I just don't have the courage to get up, and doom, down again on top of it. But that time, the Lord helped me. But anyways, I was so hungry and so exhausted, I was just, when I put on my little headlight, steam was just barreling off my whole body. My clothes were just soaked from just riding hard. And the steam was coming off, and I said, "I need something to give me some energy." And my wife had said, "What are these little square cube things they're little square candies, colored purple square candies. You guys, Starbucks, Star what? Starburst, little Starburst. She sent them for the pastor's kid. So I eat these Starbursts and I get some energy. And I said, Lord, help me get this. And this time it wasn't up like this with the wheels up like this, and I got it back on. Anyways, to make a long story short, I ride for 2 hours again in the night, and all of a sudden I see this little Chinese LED light in front of me. This is somebody walking towards me. It was the pastor. He arrived in the village, this pastor, John. He arrived in the village at 4 p.m., and I wasn't there. He thought I should arrive at 5, so he started walking towards the way I'm coming. And he walks for 6 hours till 9 at night towards me with his flashlight and his backpack. And I'm up on the tank like this, and, you know, this is all loaded up there, a whole load. And now I have to put him on, and I've been on the motorcycle for, I think it was about, four, what was it? Anyways, it was whatever hours, you can figure that out. It was about 14 hours or something I'd been riding. So anyways, there was a new church started. That night, I got there at midnight with him and set up the video, and I says, I'm going to bed. And in this same little house, I put my motorcycle. He was shown the film. I says, you deal with the people that want to trust Christ, and I'll see you in the morning. He says, Pastor, I'll be sleeping in the bed, but you put up your tent. So I go, and the believers had given me food. And I opened a pot, and here's this paw of some kind of animal, back paw, sticking out at me like this. Man, I'd rather have my wife's cooking. And then I go to set up my tent, and somebody had mix-matched my tent poles and given me poles for a little tent about this high, and so they didn't fit my tent. I says, forget it, just going to bed. Next morning, three other people, one trusted Christ that night, three men came and trusted Christ. Three people came and made public confessions of Jesus Christ. So that's the church I was going to visit. Iyembe is the name of it. And that's just, that night I spent a little bit of time with the kids. I shouldn't be telling you all these stories. But sang with the kids, met with the deacons of the church. Next day was Sunday. And I was very disappointed to find this new church with all the grass had deteriorated, the leaves that they cover as a roof. And so Pastor John preached a little bit, and then I preached. They always want me to preach. This was the offering. You can see some peanuts and the cassava there. That's the cassava that you eat. And after, Pastor, you're going to have to try this one day, okay? When you get done preaching, you go out, and then you just come out, and everybody shakes your hand, and then stands there, and then shakes his hands, and stand there, and you just go around. That's what we do in Congo. So you guys have to try that for a fellowship sometime when you're done with the service. But so I came out first, and I shook Pastor John's hand, and then these are the deacons, and all the rest are going around, and you just go around in a circle and shake each other's hands, and pass all the germs around to each other. So this is one of the villages. But I was amazed. Look at the shirts that are from America. I don't know if you have good eyes. That one, but look at this one. Has God left his testimony in this village? Somebody has Jesus on their shirt. They got this, the bales of used clothing that they buy out there, supposed to be donated, they buy them. And yet Jesus had a testimony there, and I was able to share God's word. I'll share with you a little bit about going to Mbongo. We'll show the video flying in there. So I'm going to just show this, just go through about my Aunt Louise, the last, my dad being the oldest, that came out and just ministering there. So let's go. There's the smallest antelope in the world, the duiker. They went out with our flashlight with bow and arrow and shot that. So that's what we ate while we were there. And this was just saying goodbye. So I do want to share about this man. This man met us at the airport. This man has some mental problems, and he drinks, and then he steals. So they took this green log, bored holes just big enough for his hands to fit through, then took those pins there and drove them through tight so he can't take them out. And you can see that right hand, how low it is, holding that weight. And he has had that on for 2 months because he's a thief. Well, My sister has sent medication up to help him with this mental problem he has, but he definitely drinking. This palm wine sets him off. So you might remember to pray for him, and we did get the opportunity to share the gospel with him. But that's Mongo, and that airstrip was made for scientists who are proving that bonobos, the chimpanzees, are relative to human beings. So it's supported by doctors that are living out in that forest, in tents, going around these chimpanzees and proving that they are ancestors. And I asked the Congolese, I says, do you really think that these monkeys there are our ancestors? They said, they're not our ancestors. If it's that white, those white men that are studying, it can be theirs. Whoa, yeah. So anyways, by the way, that is Pastor John right there in our pastor's conference. That's one of my deacons right there, Papa Ibula. But this was pastors that had come from all over Congo. And this year, January, we had our pastor's conference. We had our pastor out from Grace Baptist Church and deacon from Twin Falls, Idaho. And our former missionary and pastor, two missionaries and pastors from South Africa. And so this was our pastor's conference. And this is the first time that I've stepped down as legal representative, representing our churches and our schools to the government. And this is our new legal representative, one of our pastors in Kinshasa, and our vice, a young man that's grown up with us since he was a kid. This man here is our general secretary, a man I led to the Lord years ago. And then one of our deacons, who is the treasurer, and he is a deacon of the church right here. And he is a pastor of the fifth church plant that we're planting out at the university. We're thankful for the other missionaries we work with, my sister Becky and Lee Ward. Lee's from a farmer boy from Idaho. They have not had any kids. They've adopted two boys. So you might remember to pray for them. They have a boys' home where they take boys that are abandoned on the streets of Kinshasa because they say they have witchcraft, and they take them into their boys' home. Every Saturday they come and Sunday and live at their house, and then they take them to church and they put them through school. And Simon, one of the tallest, oldest boys, is really grown spiritually, and he flew with us into Mbongo. Our other missionaries are the Clancys. Sparky and Mindy Clancy, three children there. They are working with our Bible Institute up near where my grandfather crossed over to reach this remote tribe in 1933. So I had the opportunity to go up there and teach Bible to the Bible school students up at Dibaya. And Pastor Sparky is right there right now. He's made a trip. It'd take him normally 1 day trip to get to Idiofa. Took him 2 days, so 3 days totally to get up there because the roads have deteriorated so bad. The government's not fixing them. So remember to pray for discipleship. This was our fifth church plant, and I baptized that day. There was 14 believers, and she was a university student. And these are other university students that go to the church there at Mbanza Lemba. But pray that God will give us many more faithful generations. As I looked at the mom and the daughter and the granddaughter, that God will give us more faithful pastors and leaders. Pray for the need of Bibles and MP3 players. This is one of our oldest pastors. I believe if I remember right, he was 91 or 93, about the same age my dad died. But he traveled by bicycle. For 1 week, they pushed him on bicycle to meet us here for these pastors' meetings that we had up where my grandmother's buried. And he told me, he said, missionary, no missionary has come to my village, the Yalima-speaking people, for 25 years. I was there once. My dad was there, my uncle. And he says, can't you come? I beg you, please come see. But if I would try to get in there by my motorcycle, it might take me 3 weeks. And where can I get gas? All through different places. There's some places, there's just no gas stations or anything. So you have to carry so much with you. Like I said, pray for my wife. You can see the bandages on her her feet there with the psoriasis, and pray for the construction as we continue to finish the second phase. God allowed us this year to go to Israel. So that's the eastern gate there, Mount Olives, and that's Anna, our youngest. And do remember for the medical needs and for our children's needs, and as we for the national leaders that are the five deacons that continue to hold the work there. As I said, this room here, we're praying that it'll be a library and a study place where pastors from all over Kinshasa can come study God's Word. Most of these pastors don't even have a Bible that has a concordance, no less, you know, being able to have some more study material. And then the middle is going to be a training room, and this is going to be our church office and another office over here. You know, as we remember to pray for people. It's all about people. It's all about souls. So remember that when we pray, it's not our power, it's not our might, it's His working, but we need to be willing, just like Paul said, Lord, what will you have me do? Aware of people's spiritual needs when he saw the multitude like Jesus did and yielded. Well, if we can have that video, I'll show you a quick video that I made for the church I pastor in the capital city of a trip that we made with my aunt and my sister Becky and her husband and one of our young pastors, Pastor Pangu, who is actually our president of all of our churches in Congo, and my aunt Louise, who it was 89, I believe, Simon, one of the boys from the boys' home, and our oldest daughter, Sarah and Christophe Larenois, and Caleb and Simeon there. So we were able to fly with MAF, Missionary Aviation Fellowship, in Tumbongo, but where the village actually was would take you about 7 hours to get to where the village was back in the Belgian times, where my grandmother is actually buried. So it's in the forest area there. You can click that there. It's not letting me click it here. But there's my grandfather, Herbert Ernest Grings, and the burning ship, the Hilton there. And as they would travel by bicycle to the villages, Aunt Louise right here, my dad there. The house that they built at Mbongo, two-story house, and that's where my grandmother died. The village ministry, going to the villages, preaching God's word. And then my grandmother only dying 2 years after they arrived there. My grandmother died, and that's where five men stepped forward and trusted Christ as Savior. So this is, of course, French, departing from Kinshasa. You can turn this up a little bit here to see as the Christians come out to welcome us. Ipope is the airstrip that we land where the scientists are studying the bonobos, the chimpanzees. Look at those kids. Look at that little white boy. They've never seen a white boy in their village before. See, I just helped this pastor get this motorcycle used. And so he's taken my aunt into the village so she doesn't have to walk for about an hour and 30 minutes. That's Caleb there trying to get away from the kids. But they're following them. They're not going to let him get away. Can you imagine having such a weird creature coming in and landing at your at your hometown? You've never seen anything like this before? That's walking in. You can see an anthill in the background. The pilot flew with us. Otherwise, it would have cost us $8,000 at missionary rate for them to drop us and pick us up again. But the pilot is the director of MAF. He came with, this is the second time he's done this, stayed with us for 3 days. Cost us $4,500 for the trip. So this is 1 hour walk, as you can see. Une heure de marche dans les forêts équatoriales. My sister Becky, Karen Caleb. This is Pastor David. He was one of my deacons for years, and God called him. He was our first missionary sent up to this area to plant a church at Lokolama. So all of his believers walked for 2 days through the jungles to get to where we were having this these seminars. You turn it up a little bit more. So this is them welcoming us. She said, we didn't leave this country because we wanted to, but because war came, and we had to go back to America. But we haven't left serving God. We're serving God in a country far away. The country is called
Suriname.
Suriname.
But these people
that God has given us to work with, she's speaking the language she hasn't spoken for 50 years. Those people that were taken from Africa as slaves, we came to live with them, to teach them. They're living in the jungle. They didn't have anybody to teach them God's word. That's the pilot there to left, Christophe, Sarah's husband. Mr. Champlin, my husband and I, we live with them, taught them God's word. My husband has trained pastors, and three of our sons are living there with their families and continuing to work in Suriname. She found two ladies that actually knew her when she was there. So that was a real, real
highlight.
So this is Pastor Pango. Guy that I've known from a kid. His father worked as a deacon in our church when we were up country. This is Pastor David. He's a circuit riding preacher. And he's just telling how he went to school with him. So you can notice that all the houses have sun-dried brick. They used to have mud stick. My grandfather taught them how to get clay and make sun-dried brick. So this village is different than other villages because sun-dried brick, of course, lasts so much longer than just mud stick. A house will deteriorate in 4 years or less. So this is Saturday, having seminars, youth meetings, teens, ladies' meetings. This is the men's meeting, and one of the young men preaching there. You can fast forward a little bit if you want to. So this is Pastor Pango teaching, and he says, who are you preparing to take your place? If you're a deacon or leader of a church or pastor, who are you preparing when you die? So these men had come from 19 different churches surrounding there that were planted by my grandfather's work up in this area. And this is David's younger brother who is going to our Bible Institute. You can turn it up a little bit here so they can hear a little bit of the singing. So always there. People love to sing, love to harmonize. My wife. wife's husband is a pediatric nurse, and he works in Belgium there in Brussels. And both of them taught health classes, but using God's word, and just teaching them basic health information. So just showing a little bit of life. That's, of course, the leaves from the cassava there. Aunt Louise always spending time with the ladies, teaching them. There's a ladies' seminar that was going on. And you can see the ladies around cooking. Of course, with that many people come from all these villages, it took a lot of food for the churches to come up with food to feed everybody. Christophe giving health seminars there. And he speaks French, and they would translate it into Lingala, one of the national languages. And this is just ville au village, so just the life in the village of Mbongo. That's where they arranged for us to put up five tents, and then behind the one tent we put for Aunt Louise. This man's making an arrow and putting the feathers on it. These are poison arrows that they still, you shoot a monkey, it clips the monkey even a tip of the finger. 10 minutes you wait under the tree, the monkey comes down, you cut off the finger, you got yourself a monkey. So I guess I did have a picture here of this man here. You might remember to pray for him. You can advance that a little bit if you want to. Just life, that's pounding the cassava there, or pounding the greens, the teens that Simon ministered to. They're the antelope that they got for us and cut up. They were very good to feed us. There you can see inside of the pastor's house, quanga and meat and spinach. Sarah blowing bubbles for the kids there. Just somehow in this village, a carry-on suitcase made it up there. And they took the wheels off and they put it on two sticks. And so they're pushing Caleb around on this carry-on wheels in the middle of this village. And they're just having fun. They couldn't believe this kid. He got into their village. The first thing he did is chased all their chickens. Just went around chasing their chickens. And they are looking at this kid. Are you all right? Chasing our chickens? it's great. These are our first grandchildren that have come onto Congo soil. So this is Sunday morning, Sunday school. Pastor David and his wife haven't had any kids, but out there, his relatives gave him a little girl. And her relatives gave her a little girl, and these are the two girls there to the left. They're now grown up, teenagers, 13, 14 years old. So that's what we're supposed to do. My sister didn't have any kids, and our pastors would say, Pastor Daniel, you have 7 kids. Why don't you share some with your sister? Well, we don't do that. So there's Simone teaching Jonah. You can see using flashcards. Visuals are very important when we teach God's word out there. Ladies meeting. Again, Aunt Louise sharing. You can see in the back, just Forrest. Last time I was there, all of a sudden we were having a service and there's this loud scream of an antelope caught in a trap, just back behind. So they have these nooses and the antelope was going through and got caught in a trap. But it was meat and everybody got up out of service, quit service, went out to get the antelope. Just cut them up and eat them, man. That wasn't during church service. They would have been more, I hope. That was just a seminar that we're having. Just different meetings there. You can fast forward a little bit if you want because of time. Pastor Pongo teaching. We'll get some here. Let's get here. A little bit of singing. Can you crank that up a little bit? All for you. Pastor David's young brother, I got him a keyboard. I'm trying to take 2 keyboards back again for churches. And a little 12-volt battery and a solar panel. And so you can hear it in the background. All for you. I'm going to point here at one, a man that trusted Christ if I see him. and his wife. He's a nurse that came, and when I gave the invitation, he says, God has spoken to me about salvation 2 times before. This is the 3rd time I've come to trust Christ as my Savior. But his wife hadn't trusted Christ. That's Pastor Longomo. Send me back here to see you, the people. The people, how are you doing? You that received God's word. You can fast forward it a little bit more if you want to. God took his word and planted it. Let's get one more scene here pretty soon. You receive the most richest treasure in the gospel. This is songs, my gospel songs, my grandfather taught them in their tribal language. Now we're not singing them, no. This is their tribal language. And we're trying to encourage them to remember these songs because that's what they speak in between them, is their tribal language. You've seen this guy before. He moves around too much. I'm telling him about their ancestors and how they put their faith in the witch doctor and how they wore elephant witchcraft to get power to kill an elephant with a spear and how they would... The elephant would be smelling. They would go up behind him. They would put elephant dung on. They'd take the spear and they'd run fast behind the elephant and put it up in between his legs and try to get that long spear clear up into his vitals. See, I'm just the same, so don't. I says, these are the things we need to pass on to the other generations. We need to tell how people trusted Christ, and we need to teach them to the other generations. This was our 100-year anniversary since my grandfather came and worked there. So I says, God called Jeremiah to a people that were very hardened. So I taught on Jeremiah. This is Pastor David's wife. These ladies walked for 2 days to get there. I sing through the sun and the sunshine, and you guys know this. I'll follow him all the day long. I sing, for I cannot be silent. My Savior. planned it all. If any of you have heard it, I think that's how it goes in English. But this is setting up the sheet at night and showing the Jesus film. Every night we would show a different film. People came. There was quite a few saved. That's the little bed we made for Aunt Louise. You can see bananas there that they gave her. The people were so sharing, bringing all kinds of fruits and animals to get meat to give us as there. So this is Sunday afternoon, again, having seminars. And you can fast forward this just a little bit because of time. See? So this is heading back to Kinshasa, give last admonition. Who can name the song? Yeah, how great they are. So these men are heading back to their villages. I just thank them for their feeding us and for everybody coming and to go back. Turn it up a little bit here and you'll hear something in English.
Merci. You know that. Thank you for you that have come from other churches.
All these truths that you've taken, the Bibles, the MP3 players, take them back to your local churches. Let everybody hold the word that God has given.
Na anglais, in English, you should lead, follow, or get out of the way.
You heard that.
Well,
I said, if God has called you to be a leader, be a leader. If there's another leader there, then be a follower and follow. But if you're not going to be a leader, and you're not going to want to follow the man God has chosen, then get out of the way. Okay, we can, I think, oh, there's one more picture you got to get. One more picture as we go here. As I walked back and saw that airplane, as we got out into the plane, and you just got to see it, I got thinking, if it wasn't for a teamwork of a missionary aviation fellowship having this caravan, turboprop caravan out there, how long would it take me to get home? And as we went out there and saw that plane out there, I thought if we had to go back by local transportation, we would walk at least 4 or 5 days through the jungles to the closest river. We would get dugout canoes to row us down another 4 or 5 days where we could get a diesel outboard on the back, filled up, get up on top, travel on down the Lukenya River, finally down to the Kasai River, finally down to the Congo River, and we could not be back to Kinshasa for 3 weeks if we went by local transportation that's available. So that just gives you an idea. When we say $4,500 to get in there, well, that's not that much. When you think of 3 weeks traveling, camping, trying to get food along the road. So just there. Okay, I'll just share something real quick with you, and it's going to be real brief. So in Luke chapter 12, I want to tell you, give you something that you can go share with people this week. So you go tell them about Mr. 12, about Mr. 18, and about Mr. 19. Has Pastor ever preached to you about Mr. 12 and Mr. 18 and Mr. 19? You haven't heard it. Well, it's in the Bible. So Pastor won't get too upset with me. But in Luke chapter 12, it says in verse 16, and he spake a parable unto them, the ground of a rich man brought forth plenteous. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and I will build greater, and there I will bestow all my fruits and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for thee. Many years, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things be that thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. His name is Mr. 12. He's the perfect example of somebody that has not trusted Jesus as Savior, is not saved. It's all about me, isn't it? I. Eat, drink, and be merry. Have you found some people in Richland that they just kind of, their life is just eat, drink, and be merry? Get that beautiful American dream house and that truck. Boy, these four-wheelers. Oh, it drives me crazy. Don't get me into that. Man, I saw a Nissan with big old, these Dodge Cummins. I always wanted a Dodge Cummins, but the Lord says, be happy with your Toyota. So I'm happy with my six-cylinder Toyota diesel. But this man was rich, but he was not rich towards God. And it was all about himself. Do you hear anywhere in this text, does he ever mention God? Does he ever talk about other people? Is he talking about Jesus, others, and you? No, he's just talking about himself. So then we go to Mr. 18. And Mr. 18, you can find him in Luke chapter 18 and verse 18. And this is another rich man, but he's religious. He's a religious. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and mother. And he said, all these I have kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute it unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sad, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they that heard it said unto him, then who can be saved? But he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. So Mr. 18, he's religious. And he thinks he's kept all the commandments. But the one Jesus doesn't repeat is covet. The last commandment, thou shalt not covet. And he has things. And when Jesus says, sell what you have, and Jesus was just testing his heart. Sell what you have and come follow me. No, Jesus, I'm not going to follow you if you want me to sell. That's more important to me than you. Do we see those kind of people? Religious people? It's all about, what shall I do? It's not about us doing, it's a free gift. It's what God does through us and transforms us. So this is a good, perfect picture. When Jesus asks him to give, does he want to give? No, Jesus, don't mess around with that. Don't talk to me about this. And then we go to Mr. 19. Do you know who that is? Do you remember who Mr. 19 is? The wee little man. Wee little man was he. He sat up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. You remember that song? And as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree and he said, for I'm going to your house today. So that's Zacchaeus, that's verse 1 of chapter 19. And Jesus entered passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which is the chief among publicans, and he was rich. All three of them are rich. And he sought to see Jesus. He sought to see Jesus, but more out of probably curiosity. And he could not for the press, because he was of little stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass by that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he saw him, and he said, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at thy house, at your house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they that saw it, they all murmured, saying that he had gone to be the guest with a man that was a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto him, Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give. Is that what the religious man said? No, Lord, don't mess around with that. You ask me something, I'm not going to follow you if it's going to be that. But when Zacchaeus came to know who the Lord Jesus was, he was changed from the inside out. And the first thing he looked at the Lord and he said, Lord, I will give. Did they make him give? What does the Bible tell us about giving? It needs to come from our hearts. It's something that God wants us to do from our hearts. And Jesus said unto them, this day salvation has come to this house, for as much he is also the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's probably the shortest message you've ever heard, isn't it? Amen? Well, now you got it, and you got to go share it with somebody else. So you're going to go to the person you work with tomorrow, and you say, we had this missionary from Africa, and he talked about Mr. 12 and Mr. 18 and Mr. 19. Have you ever heard about it? And the people will probably say, I don't know if they'll say they've heard of it. But you can share it with them, okay? You can share it with them. And you know, that's what changes a person from the inside out, is knowing Jesus. And that's what was so special about Zacchaeus, is he was looking for Jesus, but Jesus was looking for him. And when he met with Jesus, he got changed from the inside out. And he says, I will give. I will give to the poor. I will make restitution for what I've done wrong. And it came from his heart to make things right and to give, because it came from his heart. And that's how God wants us all. He wants us to give from our hearts. He wants to change us from the inside out through faith in Jesus Christ. Pastor, thank you. You guys, next time, if you ever have me come, you need to have a clock up there. So, and you need to put a red line, and then... No, it's okay.
We'll get one. No. It's a wonderful day. Thank you so much. And it's good to see that you're the same there as you are here. Yeah, it's awesome. That is awesome. How would you like to take a two-day, four-day, five-day walk to church? I'm afraid our attendance might suffer just a little if it was a five-day walk, but it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Thank you so much. Let's all stand together. Let's sing 442, one stanza of Blessed Assurance. We'll get to that chorus. We'll sing it a cappella. Blessed Assurance, 442. What a good day. 442.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of his spirit, washed in his blood.
Sing it out now.
This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long.
Amen. You know what? If you're in America or if you're in the Democratic Republic of Congo, you get saved the same way. And Jesus is the same no matter where we're at. Amen. Let's close in prayer. Dear gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, it's been good to be in your house today. God, has been good to fellowship with each other at our harvest banquet, dear Lord. And then today to worship you and to hear your word preached, dear God, and to see the lives that are being touched in their land. I just want to pray for Pastor Gring's ministry, dear Lord, for his family. Pray especially for his wife and for her medical issues, dear Lord, that she has going on. Pray that you would just give them relief in that area and take them back to the field, dear God, in your timing, that they might continue the work that you've placed before them. We give you the glory and the praise, God. I pray that we would have the opportunity this week to share the gospel with somebody, Lord. Bring someone into our lives. Like the man that wears that badge says, are you the one? Help us to always be looking with our eyes and our spiritual eyes open, especially for that one that needs to know about Jesus. In his name we pray, amen. Thank you, folks.